So as I mentioned, today we celebrate the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan. And it does mark the beginning of his public ministry. 3 short years, very tumultuous, and he gets into a lot of trouble, as we know, that ends with his crucifixion. And we ourselves, we follow where the Master has gone before us, and that includes our baptism. And so what I'd like to do is talk about this. One of the fruits of our baptism is that we are recipients of the indwelling of Christ in the Holy Spirit. This is one of the fruits of our baptism. This is what we receive in our baptism, is the indwelling of Christ in the Holy Spirit. It's in the Bible. You hear that language. But to understand it, what does that mean? What's the significance of that? And in order to maybe help us understand that, I'd like to start with another metaphor from the Bible that is quite common, and that is the metaphor of light. St. John says, God is light. In him there is no darkness. So we're to remain in the light. But of course, John also tells us in the first chapter of his gospel, and this is the verdict. The light came into the world, but men and women preferred the darkness to the light for fear that their deeds be exposed, which were evil. So we fear the light in a way, and yet we've been brought into the light. Well, what is this light? This light we're talking about, that is the indwelling. The indwelling is light. Now, it differs from the kind of light we have coming from the light bulbs here in this church. We have light coming from the light bulbs. We have light from the sun. We have light from the moon. This is all what we call material light. It's material in the sense that it's coming from outside of us completely. And that material light can't enter the soul because it's material. It's pure, and the soul is spiritual. So this material light, it's outside of us. Whereas the light we receive in baptism, which is God himself who is light, is spiritual light. That means it's interior light. So that's the first difference. Material light is coming from outside of us. Spiritual light is coming from within us. But a second difference between the light we have coming from these bulbs is the light from the bulbs is non-intelligent. It's a low level of light in the sense that it has no intelligence whatsoever. When it lands upon you, it gives you no message whatsoever. It has no message within it. Spiritual light, on the other hand, has intelligence that comes with it. And this might be a little more difficult for us. This is in the Bible. This isn't rocket science. It's there. God is pure spirit, and there's no one more knowledgeable than God, and God is light. Well, then the light that is God is pregnant with knowledge. Knowledge so vast, we can't even begin to comprehend it. He knows every single one of our souls here in its complete totality, and where we're coming from and where we're going. He knows it all. That's incredible knowledge contained in this light that we call God. Now, God has sometimes done this. If he wanted to, let's say while I'm in the confessional, he did this with Padre Pio. God knows your soul so well, he could choose to tell me in the confessional your secrets. He could do that. You might say he's very trustworthy, though. He's not a gossip. God doesn't gossip. Thank God, huh? He could start talking about us behind our back and he'd have all of it right because he knows us through and through. But he won't do that, except with his friends like Padre Pio. You might go to confession to him and he'd say, you know what, you left out this sin here. Oh, yeah, that's right, Father, sorry. Where'd he get that? God knows it. How did he communicate that to Padre Pio? Light. He gave Padre Pio an infusion of light that instructed him about what was going on in the soul on the other side of the screen, in the confessional. Angels are light. They don't have bodies. That means they don't have senses like ears to hear, eyes to see. They don't receive knowledge by acquiring it through the senses like you and I do. How do they communicate? Light. They send knowledge to each other by way of light that has knowledge contained within it. And it goes into the other angel. So if you heard an argument between two angels, like say an angel of light and an angel of darkness, and they're arguing, you and I could sit there and look at that and look like, there's nothing going on, it's pretty silent. And there they are, they're going back and forth and arguing with each other. But not a word would we hear, because they don't have ears like we do. How do they communicate knowledge? By way of light. Now, that light takes up residence within us, and it's full of the knowledge of God when we're baptized. I will write my law upon their hearts. And that law of God is light. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, containing within it the law of Christ to instruct us as we live out our lives day in, day out, day in, day out. And we can talk about secularization out there in the world as, say, society living as though God doesn't exist. But you know what? We can think of ourselves in very secular terms as well, as though there is no God within me. It's purely secular. It's just me and maybe some retro rules my parents gave me that I just ignore. And there's no one else in there. That's it. But see, our baptism declares otherwise. Christ is living within me. Christ is living within me. And he's instructing me as I live my life about a law I didn't acquire, but that is just infused into me by baptism. Hopefully, we have parents who will help us learn this law and acquire good knowledge of it. But I know of a lot of families, maybe, that didn't do that for their children. And I met those children, and they still came through as disciples of Christ, even if the parents were negligent in helping their children understand what they received at their baptism. How's that possible? Well, the light comes with knowledge. It's a light unlike this light, which is its non-intelligent light. We've received spiritual light that is instructing us about the law of Christ within us as we go about living our lives. It dawned on me, all of a sudden, it dawned on me. Listen to that language. The light, like the sun rising, it dawned on me all of a sudden. I saw it differently. What is that? That's grace. That's grace. That's the light of Christ shining in your heart and instructing you about the path you should follow. Now, as we go about living our lives then, we need to begin to hear the lesson of Christ as he instructs us within us, you see. And he's doing that. He's not just doing that like, well, Father Dan, that works for you because you're a priest. That's a real convenient way of staying in willful ignorance of what you've received. And it won't help you to stay ignorant of that, because we need to begin to heed what is Jesus teaching you as you go about your life. What is he trying to teach you? What's he trying to instruct you in? He's trying to lead you along the right path. And now I'll just skip ahead to the very end. This indwelling, as the Bible describes it, is the seed of our immortality. And what that means is the indwelling we received in our baptism, this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that is this light that's dwelling within us, instructing us as we live our lives, that indwelling will, in the end, take total possession of me and glorify me in body, soul, and spirit. That's what we call the beatific vision. But it won't just be me going from earth to God in the heaven, and then all of a sudden I'm in heaven, and now I meet God who's outside of myself. No, he's living within us. And that's where the beatific vision comes from. We now see dimly as in a mirror. We don't see clearly. We walk by faith. But then we will see clearly, because this indwelling will take full and total possession of me in body, soul, and spirit, and I will be glorified and know totally the truth that I am a child of God. Without doubt or question. Right now, we walk by faith, though. But I'm here to say this. That total possession of you by the indwelling is being determined now by how you relate to it. If you ignore that indwelling, or you willfully resist that indwelling, or you just say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with it, when it comes time for it to take full possession of you, all the obstacles you put in the way now in relation to that indwelling will be there at that time, and it won't be able to take full possession of you. You'll need to either go to purgatory to get to heaven, or if the obstacles are of such a nature as to be bold enough as to say, I never want anything to do with you, to hell you go. We now have been given the indwelling of Christ, the law of God in our souls, and are now working out our salvation. Not just at the end when we come to death. No, right now. What's our relationship going to be? We can insist on our way. I'm going through my life. Maybe I'm heading down the dark path. That indwelling is going to start throwing up yellow flags. I keep pushing. Red flags are coming up. Warning, warning. I keep pushing. And if I keep pushing, resisting that indwelling, its instruction, stop, you go down this path, you're going over the cliff. All those obstacles will be there in the end when it comes time for that indwelling to take full possession of me. It'll be blocked by the blocks I put up now, by insisting on my own way. So, how we exercise our freedom now in relation to the indwelling we received at baptism becomes eternally significant. And the light of Christ dwelling in you differs from the only other three choices you have for voices in your head right now: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are the only three choices. The world is going to come from outside of you. It's usually pretty bullying and kind of intimidates you and wants to push you around. That's the world. The flesh is coming from within you. It's very proud. It's arrogant. It presides over everything in your head. And when you go against it, it starts to impose itself on you from within you in a very sort of guilt-ridden, shameful way. It's a very shaming voice. It's a very guilt-inducing voice. The flesh is from within. It's kind of like a disciplinary parent on steroids. That's what the flesh is, the voice of the flesh inside of us. Or it could be the devil, who's always coming from the outside but is trying to get in. Without the light of Christ, that's all we have, is the world bullying us from the outside, the flesh arrogantly pursuing us from within, or the devil who's outside trying to get in. And I'm here to tell you, the light of Christ is kind, it's a gentle voice, it's holy, it's pure, it's merciful, it's quieter. I mean, the devil is like Times Square. Everything's in lights. That's the devil. Where's our Father? Jesus said, when you fast, fast in secret. So your Father who lives in secret, so humble, he's created this whole universe. He doesn't have his name in lights. He's lowly. That's like the internal indwelling. Humble instead of arrogant. Kind instead of inducing guilt and shame and shame on you, shame on you. No, that's the flesh. That's the world. Like we're being shamed into vaxxing now by the world. That's not the indwelling. And you begin to learn how to discern the voice of this light of Christ within you. And the freedom that you begin to enjoy from that world that wants to bully you, the flesh that wants to condemn you, and the devil that would like to see you in hell with him, this light is freeing us on all three counts to be and to become what we are, which is children of the living God. Brothers and sisters, what a gift we have in our baptism. This light of the indwelling. So let us begin to heed this light. Listen to it. Faith comes through hearing. And as you continue to follow it, stay in the light. Because John tells us this is the verdict. The light came into the world, but men and women preferred darkness to the light, fearing to come into the light for fear that their deeds would be exposed, which were evil. And I just invite all of you here today, let's dwell in the light and heed the voice of that indwelling that we received in our baptism.